Psalm 119 tonight. We're going to try to finish up where we started last Wednesday night. I just didn't have any liberty or peace about trying to jump into the middle of a message on Sunday morning. And so the Lord gave me what we preached on Sunday morning, Sunday night. So I thought since we started this last Wednesday night, we'll just come back to it tonight. And perhaps we can finish it up tonight. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Except, let me say this about that little phrase, according unto thy word, and the phrase quicken me. That means give life. And let me just say this about the Bible. It is a life-giving book. It is alive. The word of God's not just like a history book or a math book. It is a book that is alive and well. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand. Remember last Wednesday night I told you I aimed to study that out? Well, I did better than aim today. Amen. I was able to get back to that and study that out. Yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good meeting tonight, our dear people that have gathered. Lord, it just seems like you keep blessing, and Lord, we're grateful. We need that, Lord. Lord, it does encourage us, as Brother Brian said. Lord, I can't wait to get back each service, Lord, and be with your people, be with your word, and Lord, your spirit working among us. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd work among us in our midst. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother Dusty, did you get that bathroom fixed? That'll get you on praying ground, won't it, buddy? Amen. I remember years ago watching a Christian comedian. I can't remember his name now, but he was up talking about working on a toilet. He said, have you ever figured out you can't work on them things unless you hug them? I tell you what, if you've ever worked on one, you're going to end up hugging that thing before it's over with. Amen. But I was talking to Brother Dusty. I'd missed him a couple Sundays that were out of town. He got his bathroom all tore up. And we're glad to see you tonight, brother. You and your wife and the baby are blessing. The boys back there in class tonight? Well, good. Amen. All right, let's take off and get started. We talked about this 14th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Nun. It's a pictogram of an upright, something that's straight up and down. Its numerical value is 50. And one of the things that I picked up on in this study that I thought was really, really a blessing, the first 11 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, they speak of our rescue. And the second 11 letters in the Hebrew alphabet speak of our race. And the Bible wants us to run the race with patience. And the word means to continue. It means also to propagate and to be faithful. Now, I'm not going to go over all these things, but last Wednesday night, we tried to cover how the race is to be continued in the right path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I won't be dogmatic about it, but I believe the Lord spoke to my heart. I've tried to figure that out. I've tried to study after people and read, but I believe that lamp unto my feet, that's showing us where we are. That light unto our path. And the Bible speaks of that light shining more and more unto the perfect day. That speaks of where we're headed. Amen. And by the way, that's the way we're supposed to be looking. We ain't supposed to be looking back yonder. Amen. We're supposed to be looking that away, where the Lord is leading us and where we're headed as the people of God. And so I believe that's the race is to be continued in the right path. Now, let me get to this tonight. The second thing I want to cover in this section right here is the race is to be continued in spite of pain. In spite of pain. And I know that everybody's going to know somebody that has continued the race in spite of hardship, in spite of affliction, in spite of the pain and the agony that they were. Hey, by the way, aren't you glad Jesus continued his race? Hallelujah. He went all the way, finished the work. Amen. The Apostle Paul, aren't you glad he continued his race? Amen. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And then over in the book of Acts, he said that I might finish my course with joy. I don't know how you finish with joy when you're beaten like he was, but he did. He kept his eyes on the prize. Amen. And he said that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The Bible said here in verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. I believe that the psalmist David here, he's a man after God's own heart. He's encountering things in battle. He's encountering things with Saul. And I read something today and I can't remember exactly how it was worded. I wish I could. It said some people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? And I can't remember exactly the response on the end of that. But it was very good. It spoke to my heart. And David was a good man, but some things happened. He was afflicted. And the Bible talks about quickening over and over. It said here in Psalm 71 and verse 20, thou hast showed me great and sore troubles. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. I believe I'll get into this a little bit later about my soul is continually by him where man can even be at the point of death. And what the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 71:20 is that God's in the again ministry. He don't just pick us up once, but he'll pick us up again and again and again and help us along the way. We can continue the race in spite of the pain. It said here in Psalm 119:40, behold, I longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. In Psalm 119:88, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Psalm 119:107, I am afflicted very much. That's what we just read. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Psalm 119, verse 149, hear my voice, O Lord, unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. In Psalm 119, 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. You say, preacher, why would you go to all them verses? Because David understood that it was this book. Remember, that's the central theme of Psalm 119, that it was the word of God that God breathed that was going to breathe life into him, amen, and help him to continue his race in spite of the affliction, in spite of the pain that he was enduring. I believe sometimes the greatest pain that we endure is not in our flesh. I believe the greatest pain that Jesus endured was not in his flesh. I believe it was in his spirit. I tell you, there are many people that have died of a broken heart. Amen. And I believe our Lord had a broken heart. I believe it broke David's heart when he saw what was going on. In Psalm 119, verse 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. And listen, if we want revival, if we want a life-giving revival, it'll come through this book. Amen. I tell you, I love Brother Jimmy Rose. I found out the other day, I think he's 79 years old now. Amen. And he's running a good race. Amen. He's been in a mission field for 40 years to come home and go and go and go and was actually going to be in Brazil the month of March.
but his wife's health. I believe God has worked it out for that man of God to be with us. He put it on my heart, and he normally would have been gone the month of March. And I'm excited because I know he's going to get up and bring this book, and this book brings life to God's people that we might continue on. Psalm 119, verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Let me ask you this. If David, a man after God's own heart, over and over and over is crying out to God for God to quicken him, don't you reckon it'd be all right if we done that too? God, quicken us. Amen. Breathe life into us. Breathe life into our Sunday school classes. Breathe life into our church. Breathe life into our homes. Bring life into our testimony. Amen. Breathe life into our prayer life. Help me right there. Amen. I tell you, the devil don't want us praying. The flesh don't want us praying. Amen. And we need God to quicken us. Quicken me, Psalm 143, verse 11. O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. I believe it's important tonight that he's continuing the race in spite of pain. It's important that we see that tonight. I want to read you something tonight, and then I'll say just a few things before we move on to the last part of the message tonight. Imagine that you are a world-class concert pianist at the peak of your career, someone who has spent years studying and practicing to develop your art. Your fingers respond instantly to your mental commands, flitting along the keyboard with grace and speed. Then one day you feel a stiffness that wasn't there before. You go to a doctor, tests are done, and the diagnosis comes back: arthritis. Your fingers are destined to become crippled. From the heights of success and acclaim, you will plunge to oblivion. It happened to Byron Janis. Within a short time, this concert pianist saw arthritis quickly spread to all of his fingers, and the joints of 9 of them fused. Some people would have never recovered from such a blow, but Janis decided to fight back. He kept his ailment a secret from all but his wife and 2 close friends. He worked long hours to change his technique. He learned how to use what strengths he had instead of concentrating on his weaknesses. Boy, let me read that again. He learned how to use what strengths he had rather than concentrating on his weaknesses. I'm telling you, God spoke to my heart. Amen. I tell you, so many times, all we can think about is what's hurting. Would somebody help me tonight? It wants to consume us. Amen. The pain. Now listen, here's what he said. It said, he also used a regimen of medications, acupuncture, ultrasound, and even hypnosis to deal with the pain. His wife learned how to give him therapeutic massages to loosen his stiff joints. By the way, there was a man by the name of Roy Goodson years ago. Anybody know Brother Roy? What a precious man of God he is. His fingers are like that right there if he holds his hands up. He makes jokes about it. But listen, he told us when he was in revival, and this has been, my goodness, I guess let's be 1970, no, I was saying 87, be like 88 or 89. When he was with us in revival at Landmark Baptist Church, Brother Ralph, that he had to take a teaspoon and pry his mouth open in the morning and take his hand and work his jaw up and down so he could eat breakfast. But when he got in the pulpit, oh, hallelujah, he had God all over him, amen. He was crippled up with arthritis. I knew a lady over in Wise that played the piano for me, for our church, Sister Sarah. She was crippled with arthritis as well. The Bible, or this little story here said, through hard work and sheer determination, he was able to continue his career. He maintained a full concert schedule for 12 years without anyone suspecting. Finally, he told the whole world at a White House concert in 1985. These days, he is active in fundraising for the Arthritis Foundation, and he still plays the piano. He credits faith and hope and will for his success and says, I have arthritis, but arthritis does not have me. I say hallelujah. Brother Ralph, I couldn't help but think. I went a little while back and visited in Sister Margaret's home. She had two prayer requests. She said, preacher, pray God will help me to be a good witness. Are you listening to me tonight? And she said, pray that my passing, that it be without much pain. Amen. I told her, how about if I pray for Jesus to come? Amen. That'd be quick enough. Amen. She's talking about it, her passing being quick. And I thought about Sister Margaret has cancer, but cancer doesn't have Sister Margaret. Sister Dolores Long has crippling arthritis. Get around that praying woman. I tell you, that crippling arthritis does not have her. Amen. Brother Fred, get up on this stage time after time after time. God only knows the pain that he was enduring in that hip and what was rubbing together in there. Get up here with enthusiasm and lead the choir and lead the singing. I'll tell you what, he had a great deal of pain, but I'll tell you this much, the great deal of pain didn't have him. Amen. He'd sit there on that bench on Wednesday night. Boy, I tell you, he'd encourage me. If you listen to Brother Fred, I've never preached a sorry message. Everything's been a home run for you to listen to him. He's an encourager, amen. When he ought to be maybe looking for somebody to encourage him. Oh, beloved people, there are people in our church tonight that had a broken heart, but the broken heart did not have them. You say, how do you know? Because they're still in the race. They're still continuing. I'm telling you, God wants us to continue in the right path, and he wants us to continue in spite of the pain that comes in our lives. One good thing about pain, it's temporal. I don't care how bad it is, it's temporal. It came to pass. Amen. It didn't come to stay. Where I'm going, there's no more tears. Where I'm going, there's no more death. Where I'm going, there's no more sorrow. Where I'm going, there's no more pain. Amen. Arthritis both will have to stay down here. Amen. They can't go where I'm going. Amen. I thank God tonight the race has continued in spite of the pain. Let me give you this tonight in closing. The race not only has continued in the right path. In this scripture, we see the race. David is just going on. He said, I'm afflicted very much. I wonder how many people get involved in a church, even maybe get involved in Christianity, get saved, believing the lie that many are promoting in this world. Brother Arnold, if you get saved, everything's a bed of roses from here to heaven. I'll tell you something right now. I've got a man, I called him this week, Brother Napper. He's been here in our church for Sunday school. He just got a stump right there. And he still, Brother Houston, feels the pain. They call it phantom pain. He still feels the pain in a foot that's not even there. And he had to have surgery, I think it was hernia surgery. And I called him, I think it was Monday that I called him and talked to him. And he's doing pretty good. But I tell you what, he's continued and continued and continued. That helps me. When I look at people, how can I quit when they just went on? Amen. That ought to be our attitude. How can we quit? Christ went all the way. Then they continued in spite of pain. The last thing I want to give you is the race has continued with praise. You know, I made a statement a little while back. We really have a choice. We can endure life or we can enjoy life. A lot of people, they don't have that praise welling up in them and bubbling up in them. I believe with all my heart, regardless of what's wrong in you and in our body, I believe with all my heart, if you could just carry it all up to the foot of the cross and look up, you'd shout hallelujah. If you'd go, you know, tonight in some of these ICU units, St. Jude's, go where these, I'm talking about youngins are dying with cancer. I'm telling you tonight, it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Somebody just around the corner has got it a whole lot worse than what we've got it. And we ought to praise the Lord. Praise Him in the good time. Now we see praise overflowing, first of all, for God's continual deliverance. Over and over and over and over again, He said, quicken me, quicken me, quicken me. God just continually delivered him. And I believe the sweet psalmist of Israel just continually praised him. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. In Psalm 119:108, the Bible said, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth. That's where I got this praise from. O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. The Bible said in verse 15 of Hebrews 13, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I believe God wants us to continue in the right path, continue in spite of the pain, but just continue to praise him all the way to the finish line. He wants us to praise him. He's worthy tonight. When William Sangster was told he was dying of a progressive muscular, I think the word is atrophy. Is that, did I say it right, Brother Brian? Atrophy, is that right? When he was dying from a progressive muscular atrophy, he made four resolutions. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, I wish you'd write these in the flap of your Bible. I'm going to put them in mine. Listen to the four resolutions that he made when he found out that he was dying. He said, number one, I will never complain. Number two, I will keep the home bright. Hallelujah. Number three, I will count my blessings. And number four, he said, I will try to turn it to gain. You can say whatever you want to. That's good right there. A man's found out that he's leaving out of this world. And he said, I'm not going to complain. He said, not only am I not going to complain, I'm going to keep the home bright. Not only am I going to keep the home bright, but I'm going to count my blessings. And not only am I going to count my blessings, but he said, I'm going to try to take this situation and turn it to gain. Help somebody. I'll tell you tonight, I had a bad wreck, I guess about 10 years ago. And I'm nobody, but this is what I remember well. I remember when I came to, I don't know how long I was out. But when I came to, I heard beep, beep, beep. They were back in the rescue squad up there to me. And then I remember kind of just sitting up a little bit. I shouldn't have done that. My back was busted up. But I remember the man on the rescue squad saying, we're going to take you to the hospital and get you checked out. I remember looking at him and saying, that won't be necessary. I live just over the hill. That's my wife coming yonder. She'll take me home. I remember that well. And then I remember this. My wife said, I ain't taking you nowhere. And then I remember this. I said to that rescue squad man, I said, if you don't care, just go ahead and load me up and take me to the hospital. I knew I couldn't walk home. And if she wasn't going to take me home. But I remember this, Brother Ralph. God, I had a lot of pain. God let me witness to that man. on the way to the hospital. I found out that his marriage was in trouble. Ask him if I could pray with him. You say, preacher, you have lost your mind. Maybe I have. But I tell you, I know something about pain. And I know something about giving into it. And I also know something about counting your blessings and getting on past it. Amen? I tell you, you get one blessing. Just count the blessing that you're saved. You'll get stuck there for a while. You're saved. On your way to heaven. Listen, where God is the light of the city, it's a blessing. And so tonight, praise overflowing for God's continual deliverance. Then secondly, the race continued with praise. Praise in spite of constant danger. He said, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. I researched this in several different places. Everybody I could research after said the same thing. David is in danger of losing his life. That's what he means when he says, my soul. Remember this? Remember when David said, there's but a step between me and death. Remember that? David, he understood that he might not be here tomorrow. And when a man is about to deliver a thing or to give it up, he takes it in his hand. They that put themselves upon great perils and danger for God and his people deliver up their lives and their all to God. Hence, the Apostle Peter said, let them suffer according to the will of God. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I say, David, he committed it to the Lord. He knew that any day he could be leaving out. And then I'll give you this tonight, lastly, about the race continued with praise. Praise as a result of a complete dedication. Look at verse number 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes. Look at the word always, even unto the end. I've said this before, and I believe it's worthy of repeating. Not many people are going to remember how we started. Not many people are going to remember how we started. But there are going to be a lot of folks remember how we finish. I don't know what we're going to go through. But I hope and pray to God as long as we have breath, there'll be praise coming out off of our lips, out of our heart, unto the one that loved us and gave himself for us. The Bible said, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. What, two verses later, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. I wonder how out of place some of God's people are going to feel in heaven when there's constant, continual praise to the Lamb that have never stopped to praise him down here. I like what Brother Danny said one time, Brother Danny Sykes. Brother Danny said, I believe we're a little bit behind in our praise. Got some catching up to do. Amen. Amen. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Has he been good to anybody tonight? for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. You say, preacher, why'd you say that four times? Because God did in one chapter. Psalm chapter 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works. I go back in my mind, Brother John, to what Brother Billy said down there at Sargoinsville. He said if the church was in the shape it's in today, he said, I don't know if I'd have went back or not. You remember him saying that? Boy, it stuck in my heart. Man, the church needs to be alive. We need to put our hands up in the choir once in a while. We need to shout the victory every once in a while. It's not all mountaintop, but I tell you, the best praise comes out of the valley anyway. Bless his name. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let me give you this tonight, and I think I'll be done. John Wesley, y'all have heard of him, I know, was about 21 years of age when he went to Oxford University. He came from a Christian home. He was gifted with a keen mind and good looks. In other words, he'd remind you of your pastor. Not the rest of this now, I hope. Yet in those days, he was a bit snobbish and sarcastic. One night, however, something happened that set in motion a change in Wesley's heart. While speaking with a porter, he discovered that the poor fellow had only one coat and lived in such impoverished conditions that he didn't even have a bed. Yet he was an unusually happy man. Filled with gratitude to God, Wesley, being immature, thoughtlessly joked about the man's misfortunes. And what else do you thank God for? He said to the porter. The porter smiled. And in the spirit of meekness, he replied with joy, I thank him that he has given me my life and being, a heart to love him, and above all, a constant desire to serve him. Deeply moved, Wesley recognized that this man knew the meaning of true thankfulness. Many years later, in 1791, John Wesley lay on his deathbed at the age of 88. Those who gathered around him realized how well he had learned the lesson of praising God in every circumstance. Despite Wesley's extreme weakness, he began singing the hymn, I'll praise my Maker while I have breath. I say tonight, while we have breath, we ought to praise our blessed Redeemer. Praise Him. I go to the rehabs and go over to the nursing homes. Some are better than others. Some are cleaner than others. Let me just say it like this. Everybody ought to go once in a while. Everybody ought to go to the third floor of Wilcox Hall once in a while. Amen. It'd be good for us. I believe one of the reasons that just one that that's been in my heart all these years. It keeps me humble, Brother Ralph. There'll be days when, Brother Wayne, I'm not right. I'm hurting like a toothache. Concentrating on the negative. Instead of thanking God, I can walk. The very, very basic things in life, we really take them for granted many times until they're gone. God wants us to praise Him. This is about upright, this letter noon, staying in the right path, continuing in the right path, continuing in spite of pain. I was going through, Brother Houston, Sister Helen. I was going through by, I can't remember who done it for me now. I had a little picture album made up when I first come here. I was trying to learn everybody's name. There was Eddie Bledsoe Sr. Brother Houston, as faithful as anybody could be. And you know good and well that the majority of the time he didn't feel like being here. But he wanted to be here. He continued in spite of the pain. That's the kind of Christian I want to be, aren't you? I just want to go on. Go on. Go on for God. I just want to say tonight, bless His name. Bless His name. Dusty, them boys, they ain't going to remember a whole lot about how you and Miss Stephanie started. But they're going to grow up. There'll come a day that you'll have to tell them bye. God, help us to be faithful. Help us. Brother Arnold Maddox wasn't even here when you started in this race. How many years you been saved, Brother Arnold? 44? I didn't even know you was that old. Amen. Think about that. But if Jesus don't come real soon, Maddox will remember how you finished. Amen. Amen. Brother Brian, how long you been saved, brother? 27 year. What year were you saved in? What year were you saved in? 78. Turn them around, I saved in 87. So I was saved, I guess that'd be 9 years after you were. Amen. Maggie wasn't there when you started. Help us, Lord, to finish the race. Finish it well. Amen. They that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Help us, Lord. Forgetting those things which are behind, pressing those things which are before. Amen. The mark, the high calling of God. I'm just glad you come tonight. I appreciate you being here. Moses continued. David continued. Paul continued. God being our helper, I want to continue, don't you? Continue. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful examples in the Scripture. Thank you, God, for the wonderful examples among the saints. I think of my pastor's dad, Brother Woodrow. How that even when we go visit him in the nursing home, Lord, he'd take that Bible and show us what God had been speaking to his heart about. Lord, help us tonight to run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God the Father. Lord, help us to consider him tonight. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.